Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined by Benton Smith, and boy does Benton Smith have some freaking treats for you guys today.
I mean, was I supposed to bring the snacks?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Orange slices and waters, yeah. Capri Suns.
Capri Suns.
Granola bars.
I got some Gatorade Zero. Is that a thing?
Zero.
Is that what, is G2? What is it? There's Powerade Zero.
G2.
Boy, we have derailed already.
Yeah, we have. And our boss, Tom Keegan, refuses to drink G2 on the golf course. None of that G2 stuff, he'll say. I don't blame him. It's garbage.
Really?
No, I can't tell the difference at all. It's just another way to market it and sell it, probably.
This podcast brought to you by Gatorade.
Yeah, right. We have done our job now. All right, well, we are here to do our job, and our job today specifically focuses on Derek Thornton, the transfer from Duke who's looking for a home. He's in Lawrence today, started his official visit, and I know that both of us have watched a little bit of film and just tried to figure out how realistic is this, that a Duke player, a former Duke player, would transfer and come to Kansas. Obviously, the kid has a taste for the blue blood, so to speak. I mean, he ended up at Duke, and I'm sure his initial list had all kinds of teams like that
UCLA,
on it.
UCLA, Arizona, those types.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's not so surprising that he's interested in Kansas. It may be more surprising that Kansas is interested in him, given that, you know, it didn't work out for him at Duke. But there are a bunch of reasons for that. Some we know, some we don't know. Most we don't know, I think. But you kind of looked at some of the other teams that he's considering, other schools he's considering. What jumped out at you as far as, the list is what, USC, Washington, Miami,
right.
Any others? Or are those the main
four?
No,
those in KU are kind of the list that's been put out there. And to me, if there's anything that makes the most sense out of those other three schools, it's USC and Washington because they're on the West Coast. He's from California.
Right.
If that's part of him wanting to go back, I mean, I'm sure it's a small part.
Yeah, yeah,
being
yeah.
Closer to his roots or whatever.
Anytime anybody transfers, that's always the line,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
want to be closer to home.
Right, and then they'll transfer to Texas,
yeah.
Which is like in the middle
right.
of the country and nowhere near where they actually are from. But, I mean, Washington, I don't know. I could kind of see that. I mean, it's a program that's consistently a, you know, winning program.
That's a good word, yeah.
Maybe not always making the NCAA tournament, but
right.
Lorenzo Romar also has a history of success with point guards.
Definitely.
Nate Robinson.
Tiny Isaiah. Right.
He's called. So he could be Tiny Derek.
There you go.
If he goes to Washington.
Yeah, and something like that is you know, without talking to this guy, we don't know his story, and maybe that is, after a year at Duke, maybe that is something that's more appealing to him.
Right.
You know, look, I'm going to make a difference at a place. Maybe they're not a perennial NCAA tournament team, but if I go there and I play well and I elevate the program, maybe they are, and that'll be because of me. And, you know, that appeals to some guys big time. So
yeah.
So that could be part of it there. Again, without talking to him, we don't know exactly what he's thinking or, you know, outside of his family, I'm sure there are very few people that really know what he's thinking right,
right.
now. And maybe even him. I mean, he's clearly wide open. He's narrowed it down, yeah, but he's definitely looking at a variety of different schools. What's USC and
well,
and
USC to me is kind of it's along the same lines of Washington, but it definitely doesn't have the kind of tradition. Not that Washington's a powerhouse,
no.
But USC, since Andy Enfield has been there, his first two seasons there after coming from Florida Gulf Coast,
right.
I mean they didn't even have a winning record.
Right.
They finally got over that hurdle this year. So maybe they're on the uprise.
Sure.
Maybe he sees that. And it is in California where he's from. So there's appeal in that. What was the tagline for Florida Gulf Coast when they were upsetting people in the tournament before Andy Enfield left?
Yeah.
It wasn't – I keep wanting to say Lob City.
What was
but it wasn't
Dunk
that.
City?
Yeah, I mean, something like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
right, which is not going to appeal – directly to
right.
a kid like Derek Thornton because he's not
guard,
on the end.
Yeah,
right.
But if you're a point guard who likes to run, I mean.
That's what I was going to say, that style. And it's funny because it's sort of, in a lot of ways, the same sort of style at Miami. You know,
yeah.
There's just a lot of athleticism surrounding the point guard. And he's the guy that makes it go. And he's the guy that really just can have a lot of fun in those offenses. You saw Miami this year. We saw them in Louisville against Villanova. And obviously watched them before that on television. That was an athletic team. Angel Rodriguez was
right.
running the show. Hard to replace him, you know, hard to step in and beat that guy. But similar players, if you look at the film, I think
right.
Thornton might be a little bit more I don't know. It's hard to say he's more skilled offensively because Rodriguez is so talented, but he's Rodriguez more traditionally.
So, yeah, Rodriguez is so crafty too.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Thornton can get to that
there
point.
There you go. Yeah.
But that's a selling point that Jim Larrañaga can use. You know, I want you to be our next Angel Rodriguez.
Right, absolutely right.
So, I mean, that's there's to me, if I'm Derek Thornton, there are definite positives that come with any of these places.
Right.
And you can kind of see why he's interested in each of them. You can't automatically dismiss any of them.
No, I agree with that. And I think to flip it over, you can absolutely see why Kansas is interested
right.
in him. First
right.
of all, top-tier talent. The guy was good enough to go to Duke. He's good enough to come to Kansas, bottom line. Secondly, you're talking about 2 years from now. He would obviously
yeah.
have to sit out this coming season. And 2 years from now, KU is going to be without Frank Mason. Devontae Graham probably will be here, but
I'm
never
assuming
know.
He'll be here.
Yeah. Either way, though, he'll be a senior on his
yeah.
way out. There's not a whole other stock of point guards and guards in this program right now. Now, that doesn't mean they won't come. You know, Self's going to go get five of the top six players in the country and refill the cupboard that way. That's what he can do every year. But a guy like this, who you can have in for a year and you can not only have him learn from Graham, who he will play
yeah,
with, but also learn from Mason, too.
Right. That would be the great thing for him developmentally, is
right.
that he would spend a year learning Self-system, learning kind of the crazy demands that Self puts on
Bingo.
His players.
Bingo.
But also playing against Frank Mason and Devontae Graham every day in practice.
That's an excellent point. There's no doubt that that's a huge part of it, too, for Self, because that practice, the competition, the scout team, if you will, whatever you want to call it. KU's had some of its best teams when that second unit has been enough to push the starters in practice every day.
Right.
Whether you're just talking bigs, that's happened a lot over the last few years, or you're talking five-on-five. You know, it's a different world. And you know, I'm a big fan of Evan Manning and those types of guys, Christian Garrett, you know, those guys. But
sure.
But if you can put a guy like Derek Thornton,
a five-star
yeah,
guy out of high school,
to push Frank yeah. Mason, to push Devontae Graham, to push Josh Jackson, I mean, that's a big deal right there, and I would think at least a solid chunk of the reason that Self is interested. And obviously you want to kick the tires and see if this kid can play for you. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, if it didn't work at Duke under Coach K, why does Self think it could work here? Well, they're nothing alike. You know, they're both the head coach at a big time program. That's about it. You know, I mean, they value certain things and there are consistencies there, but it's a different world.
Yeah, Coach K of late, I mean, his offenses have become kind of very free-wielding, three-point driven, the perimeter type offenses. That's not Bill Self.
No, and I think Coach K, more than he used to, has shown a willingness to adjust
yeah.
to his personnel. I mean, and Self, for all his wonderful attributes and all the things that make him one of the best in the business, he doesn't love doing that. You know, he
right.
really would prefer guys to recruit guys to fit to his system and then to play his system only. And
yeah.
and with a hint of stubborn stubbornness in there too, you know. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because it's obviously worked out very well.
Yeah, and if you're Bill Self and you're talking to Derek Thornton on this visit, you can say, hey, look what I have Frank Mason doing. Look what
right.
I have Devontae Graham doing. Look how I used Tyshawn Taylor and Sharon Collins. You
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, those are pretty good examples that a lead guard can really be featured offensively in a Bill Self offensive system.
No doubt about it. He's 6'2", and I don't really think watching the film that he looks that.
Yeah.
He looks a little smaller to me, but a lot of guys do, you know, on
mm-hmm.
film. I think that's hard until you stand up next to him and that kind of thing. I was trying to think of some KU players that remind me of him, and I didn't really come up with too many. I mean, he there's a little Mason to his game in that he's just relentless in terms of attacking the rim. But he's not nearly as physical and not nearly as tough as Frank Mason is, at least not yet. Honestly, one of the guys that jumped out at me the most was Nick Moore from SMU,
oh, okay.
who played with KU in Korea. He kind of reminds me a little bit more of him. I mean, he's fast. He likes the ball in his hands. He's got great body control, great balance. Every highlight video I watched of him – He must have ripped off 10 or 12 spin moves in that time, and he comes out with such good balance, such good control. It's not like you or me trying to do a spin move, and God forbid if it would be. But I thought that was something that was interesting. He seems to be able to score with both hands. He's got a pretty good mid-range game. I don't know that his three-point shot's anything to write home about yet. He can shoot it, but it doesn't. It's a little slow.
Yeah,
it doesn't look to me like it's something where he's just going to create that shot. And but obviously, if somebody kicks to him and he's wide open, he can knock it down. So there's a lot to like about this guy. I really do think, as you kind of mentioned a minute ago, even though he's not exactly the same type of player as a Tyshawn Taylor or something like that, or even Frank Mason, he does have that gene that just says attack, 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 which all of those guys had. Sharon Collins had it. You know, I mean, Devontae Graham has it. There's a lot of KU guys that have played and played well for self that have that, and it looks like this kid already has that.
Yeah, when I watched highlights from some of his better games that he had for Duke this past year, it looked to me, and I'm curious if you agree or not, it looked to me like he wasn't necessarily like crazy athletic, like he wasn't blowing by anybody off the dribble.
Right.
He would kind of see a space that he could attack,
right,
and go. He's more like of a smart and crafty attacker.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Than a guy who is just like out of this world athletic,
right,
and too fast to stay in front of.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Go figure, the guy with great intelligence ends up at Duke. You know, that makes sense. But I agree. He looks like he's a step or two ahead, mm-hmm, in his head of
right,
his defenders. You
and
know,
when,
and that's what gets him the space. That's what gets him the blow by. It's not an incredibly quick first step or anything,
yeah,
but it looks that way because he's thinking ahead.
And also, I noticed a lot of the time when he was scoring inside, it wasn't like he's just like taking off and is such a quick leaper that you can't stop him. It was more like he had a really good feel for, all right, this big is starting to come my way. I'm going to stop where I am right now and just put up a teardrop,
yep,
or a floater and score that way. Just kind of like seemed to have a real understanding of the floor and, you know, anticipating what defenders were going
to
do.
There are a lot of times, too, he looks to get the ball up on the glass quick. It's sort of the opposite of what you just talked about. Sometimes he'll stop and hit that little mid-range or teardrop or floater or whatever, but other times, if they're sleeping at all, he'll get it up there quick, and they're not ready at all to try to block the shot, and the next thing you know, it's coming down through the net.
Right.
So, yeah, he's crafty. That's definitely a good word for it, both in terms of with the ball in his hands and then also as a scorer. I really couldn't tell, and I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch hours and hours of film or anything like that, but 6-7 different highlight films. I really couldn't tell if he's a pass first or a score first type of point guard. I mean, it looks like he's a little bit of a chameleon where he can kind of do whatever's required. I mean, I saw some clips where he really looked like he could set the table very well for teammates. But he does look like a guy that likes to score too. So did you get a read on that?
From the game highlights that I watched, I would agree. I didn't necessarily think that he was more traditional point guard or more a, you know, two guard in a point guard's body.
Right.
He just seemed to be a guard.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Bill Self likes.
No doubt about it.
Not surprised that he's interested in getting Derek Thornton into his program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting. I'm sure most Kansas fans look at the list and think USC, Washington, Miami, we're better than all those. Why wouldn't he come here?
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think you made some valid points for all three of those other programs. As you said, I don't think he can go wrong. I mean, he's going to be in a good situation wherever he ends up. Big part of it is what does he want to do? Does he want to fit into a team and fit into a roster and be a part of something? Or does he want to be the man? If he does, he probably doesn't end up coming to Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably more of a fit-in situation, a guy that's a piece versus the piece. And so it'll be real interesting. But the fact that they're welcoming him in, the fact that they've been very, you know, nobody's trying to hide that they're interested. I mean, it's very obvious that they are considering this guy and considering him big time. I would say they're going to throw everything they can at him, and as long as they deem him to be the right fit, they're going to go after him just as hard as they went after Josh Jackson or Andrew Wiggins or whatever. Smaller time frame, you don't have as long to recruit him, but in some ways that probably works out better for Kansas because you show him the facilities, you show him some history, you show him some tradition, you show him some of these players that he can work with right away, all of a sudden, that's pretty hard to pass up. So I won't make you predict, but do you have a gut feeling? Are you leaning either way? It's really hard to know because there's not a whole lot of chatter about what he's thinking yet.
Yeah, I don't really have a gut feeling. I think it's just like, I'm guessing it'll come down to, does he want to play on the West Coast?
Yeah.
And if he really does, he'll go to USC or Washington. And if he wants to keep playing at a high-profile program like he got accustomed right. to at Duke, he'll come to KU.
Yeah.
And boy, Self would love to have, you know, once Frank Mason graduates, Devontae Graham and Derek Thornton, who's experienced a year of KU just practicing.
Yeah, and played a year in the ACC. I mean, he didn't play a ton down the stretch, but he played a lot, you know, and a lot more than anybody else that Self could add would have.
Yeah, and I mean, what's the alternative? It's like Self bringing in a freshman, you know, 2 years from now to play in the backcourt and start with Devontae Graham.
Right.
I'm sure he'd much rather have Derek Thornton, who at that point would be a sophomore, but kind of be like a junior.
Sure, yeah, great point. I think it'll be real interesting, and it looks, according to Gary Bedore, he's heading to Washington on Sunday after his visit here, and then he visited USC last weekend, and then after that he's got a visit scheduled for Miami on May 15th. I would fully expect that he'll take all those visits.
I
don't think that he's going to come here this week, today, this weekend, whatever it is, and be so wowed by Kansas that he just says, nope, I'm sticking.
Yeah.
This is where I want to go. He could have that thought in his head, but I still think he'll check it out. You know, it's rare you get a second opportunity like this.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, you've got that graduate transfer thing, so a lot of guys will get that one chance, but this is different. This is a kid who, you know, he's got another chance here to really determine where his career goes, not just 1 year at a school that needs some help or whatever. So I would fully expect he'll take all four visits, and you know, sometime toward the end of May, we'll probably know a little bit more about what he's thinking. He may narrow it to two, or he may just pick one of the four and get it over with and get rolling. But it'll be really interesting, because if he does pick Kansas or wherever he picks, I would think getting him here as soon as possible would be the idea. Get him here in June for some summer school and some pickup ball and stuff like that. So, you know, we're already on May 4th. So May 15th is his final visit. That gives him 2 weeks to decide and then report. So it's going to be real interesting. Any final thoughts on Derek Thornton? Even if you want to talk about his odd spelling of his first name, this is the time to do it.
The D-E-R-R-Y-C-K. You don't see that a lot.
No, you really don't.
But yeah, I think
it's easier to spell than Sviatoslav Mihailuk.
That is very true. Although now I've got it drilled into my head.
I agree.
you're in my head.
Yes.
Get out of there. back to what you were just saying about his decision process. I agree. I don't think he'll decide this week.
No.
I think especially with how things turned out for him at Duke.
Right.
You know, you assume when you're going to Duke, oh man, I'm set for the next 3 or 4 years.
Great.
You know, obviously it did not work out with him and Coach K for whatever reason. So I think he'll be wise and take all those visits and really think about that decision.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild thing, the scenario of a former Duke player coming to Kansas. It's you don't hear it. You don't hear a North Carolina guy transferring to Kentucky. You don't hear a Kentucky guy going to Duke. I mean, it's unique in that way. And for that reason, I think it'd be really cool if he ended up here. Obviously, KU could use him in the future. Self would know exactly what to do with a guy like that.
Yeah.
But just from that standpoint, our perspective of that'd be pretty cool to cover a guy who's been around the Duke program for a year. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So we'll keep an eye on it. As you know already, Gary Bedore will be on it morning, noon, and night, 24/7. That's what he does, and this is what we do. For Benton Smith, I'm Matt Tate. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Spodcasters. We will talk to you guys very soon.